الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Every bounty comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we receive those bounties, the very, very first step is to appreciate where those bounties have come from. For example, if I end up with $100, before I can even begin to think about how it should be spent, I need to first recognize that that $100 is in my hand only because of the mercy, bounty, blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first step for any believer, to appreciate that everything comes from Allah. Yes, I may have made some effort in order to create the circumstances that allowed me to be able to earn $100. I may have a certain skill that gave my time a value of $100. I may have produced some sort of merchandise that the market valued at $100. But even in each of those scenarios, and in any other scenario that we could describe, in the end, all of it is still due to Allah. Meaning if I have the ability, it's only because Allah gave me the ability. If I have some knowledge, it's because Allah granted me knowledge. If I have some merchandise, it's because Allah gave me the ability to be able to construct that merchandise, and Allah provided, of course, all of the natural resources that allow for that item to be produced, including the fact that I was able to produce it. There's no escaping the fact that everything comes from Allah. Because in the end, even if someone were to produce something, they're still producing it based on resources provided by Allah. Nobody's making their own universe and then creating within that universe, which is completely separate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not possible. So the very first step in any blessing is to recognize that it comes from Allah and it comes from Allah alone. Now, once a person is cognizant of this, then it should lead them to the next question, which is, now that I've appreciated that this is from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can I show the maximum gratitude to Allah and bring the most amount of blessing into the $100? And in particular, how can I protect myself from a circumstance that would lead to Allah's displeasure? So maybe I should say it this way. The first step when a bounty comes to us is to appreciate that it's from Allah. And the second step is to appreciate that once I recognize that it's from Allah, then I also need to recognize and appreciate that I must use it in a certain way that is pleasing to Allah and that definitively does not displease Allah. Right? I cannot earn Allah's displeasure from that blessing. So this is the second responsibility that falls upon a believer, and this is basically what we call the Sharia. Sharia basically tells us, you cannot do this, you should do that. Now this applies, I know I gave the example of $100, but we can broaden this example and we can apply it to any circumstance in our lives. For example, let's just say that you're thinking about buying a house. You've decided that it's time, you've sat down with your family and you've decided that it's time for us to purchase a house. So in the context of purchasing a house, the scholars, they write some very interesting pointers. They say that if a person decides that they want to purchase a house and the intention is that I need to have a roof over my family's head in order to be able to allow my family to have some protection from the elements and have a place to live, then no problem. No problem. If I go a step further and I say that, well, now that I'm going to have a house, I would like that house to be comfortable for the family. So I would like extra space. I would like to have bigger rooms. I would like to have two-zone air conditioning and heating instead of one zone. Again, no problem. The intention is to serve the family, and serving the family is part of deen. No problem. If a person goes one step further and they say that, you know, I would like to have, a certain kind of furniture in the house, because when I see that type of furniture in the house, it brings peace to my heart, it comforts me, it allows me to relax, I feel like it's home, then again, no problem. No problem. The problem, where will the problem arise? The problem arises when a person says, I want this house, or I want these furnishings, or I want this style, so that I can show others what I have. Once a person crosses this boundary of using the bounties that Allah has bestowed upon them to show off to other people, then they cross a red line in our deen. And this red line is what can make something that would be normally permissible absolutely impermissible. And this is the one thing that all of us have to be very particular about. We should never cross the line of doing something in order to earn other people's attention, of doing something in order to try to please other people. This would be the absolute red line. I'll give you just an example. I mean, all of you know this example, but maybe you don't put it into this context. But for example, you know that there's a famous incident, which actually was narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and it's in the book of Imam Muslim. It may be in other books as well. Just my memory is, if my memory serves me correct, is it's in the book of Imam Muslim, where on one occasion he narrated that the Prophet ﷺ narrated that on the Day of Judgment, one of the earliest people to be judged, again, I'm just paraphrasing here, just talking off the top of my head. On the Day of Judgment, one of the earliest people to be, some among the earliest people to be judged will be an individual who had been given many bounties by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An individual given many bounties by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise this person and will be asked of him, did you not receive this bounty and that bounty and this bounty and that bounty? And he will acknowledge and appreciate that all of these bounties were bestowed upon him. After that, it will be asked of him, what did you do with these bounties? What did you do with these bounties? So you were given all these blessings. So the question is, how did you reciprocate? So it implies two features in order to reciprocate, which I've already spoken about at the very beginning of this talk. Number one, you must have appreciated that they came from Allah. And number two, you must have recognized that these are an opportunity from Allah to be able to do something beyond the norm. So the person will say, for example, there are three examples given in this particular narration. Each is the same. But one, in the first case, the person will say that I fought in your path. I was a warrior. I strove in your path. And then after the person makes this claim, it will be said to him, you didn't strive in my path. You strove in order for people to be able to call you a great fighter. So, it's been said. It's been said, meaning this person, essentially Allah gave the person bounties. The person took those bounties and decided to go off and do one of the great acts of deen, which would be to strive in the path of Allah in order to advance the purpose of deen. Now, when they strive in the path of Allah in order to advance the purpose of deen, you would say, wow, this is amazing. But the intention was what? The intention was to show other people what they were doing. And by showing other people what they were doing, they were turning attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and drawing attention towards themselves. Another example in this, if you just go further down in this particular narration, the next example that's given is the example of an individual that has attained knowledge. And mastered the recitation of the Qur'an. And then upon attaining that knowledge and mastering the Qur'an, they then go out and they begin to spread knowledge. I mean, this is one of the greatest acts that anyone can do. We all know this, that the angels spread the wings for the one who goes to attain knowledge. What do you think about the one who's spreading it? So now this person is going out there in order to spread knowledge, and he's cognizant of the fact that Allah provided these bounties. He's cognizant of the fact that this has provided an opportunity for him. He recognizes it, and he goes out and he begins to spread knowledge, but the intent was that people call this person a scholar. So it'll be said to him that this was said. People did call you a great scholar. People said he was such a great scholar. He did this. He guided this many people to Islam. He raised the deen. And then what ends up happening? The end result is the person will be taken into punishment, into the fire of Jahannam, because even though they recognized the bounties were from Allah, and even though they leveraged those bounties in order to try to do something beneficial, they did it to show off to other people. They did it to bring attention to themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tolerate even the slightest of partners. Listen very carefully. This is a summary of the entire talk today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tolerate even the slightest of partners. All praise is for Allah. All attention is to Allah. The only focus is on Allah. If somebody wants to stand and compete with that by trying to get other people to praise them, to say good things about them, to appreciate them, to say that they own this or that, or they have this or that, they are in a way trying to establish themselves as a minor partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tolerate that whatsoever. And that's why you can have an individual who's been given blessings, who acknowledges the blessings, who uses the blessings to do something good, but whether they were a warrior or a person of great knowledge or a person of great wealth who was generous with their wealth, in each of these instances, in this particular narration, in each of these instances, all three individuals end up in Jahannam. Why? Because they did what they did to bring other people's attention to them. That's the one red line in the sand. Now, we could talk about the opposite, which is, you know, what are the things that you actually have to do, etc. I don't want to go there right now. I'm just trying to highlight one central premise, which is that in this day, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us innumerable blessings, we have three responsibilities. Number one, to appreciate that they're from Allah. That's the first thing. A person should always recognize that any blessing, any bounty, any circumstance that has afforded them any privilege is always from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah alone, and it is not due to anything else that may apparently or seemingly be the cause or the method. I didn't get $100 in my pocket because I have a high degree. I did not get $100 in my pocket because somebody was impressed with my work. I didn't get $100 in my pocket because somebody happened to give me a gift. I only got $100 in my pocket because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with that. So that's step one. And step two is, once I have that $100, now how am I going to use that in order to earn Allah's pleasure? So there's a lot of ways to use that. Like I said, you know, I gave the example of buying a house. Obviously, you don't buy a house with $100. Make it $100,000. Make it a million. Whatever number you want, it doesn't matter. I can buy a house, for example, in the case of the example that I started with. I can buy a house for my family and say, okay, my family needs shelter. They need a place to call home. No problem. I can buy a comfortable house for my family, saying that I would like my family to be comfortable. I would like them to have space. I would like them to be able to call this place home in a special way, no problem. I could have intricate design in the house. I could say that, you know, if I have this type of design and this type of wood and this type of chandelier and this type of furniture, all of this brings peace and comfort to the heart of myself and my family, even then, no problem. Now, there might be an opportunity cost there. Meaning, I might have taken an opportunity to spend a little bit of money that I didn't necessarily need to spend, and I could have spent it on something better. But we're not talking about that here. We're talking about where the problem arises. So let's put opportunity cost on the side for a moment. No problem. But the problem becomes when a person says, I want this house. It needs to be this way. It needs to be in this manner so that I can show other people what I have. Once a person crosses this red line, the desire to show other people what they have, they then enter into a very, very dangerous domain of making an attempt to compete with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tolerate any competitors. Minor, major, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tolerate any competitors. And so these three individuals that I gave you the example of, look how far they had gotten. They appreciated the fact that Allah had bestowed them with bounties and mercy. They appreciated the fact that they needed to do something that was quote-unquote beneficial. And they did something that was beneficial by gaining knowledge, fighting in the path of Allah, or by being generous with their wealth. But in the end, it all resulted in them being the earliest people placed in Jahannam. Why? Because they tried to compete with Allah. Okay, now why am I saying all this? Well, one, the scholars, they mention all of this, and it's very useful because sometimes people, it's common for people to ask as part of their spiritual development, you know, I want to buy a house, I want to buy a car, what type of car should I buy, what type of house should I buy? Same rules apply. Buy whatever you can afford in a halal way, that recognizing that that the intention should be your comfort or your desire to be able to praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it should never be to show people what I drive. I don't want people saying, oh wow, I drive this, or I don't want people crowding around me trying to attract their, I don't want to crowd people around me or try to attract their attention, because that's where the red line gets crossed. So we should be very particular. Now in this day and age, unfortunately what's happened is that this one clause has become so commonly violated, and the problem is we don't even appreciate that it's happening. And that's because we live in a world where we ourselves have become the entertainment for one another. So what happens is, there's a nice meal. Okay? So I go out with my family, I take them out to a restaurant, and I'm going to sit with them and have a nice meal with them. We're all going to be sitting together. So this is the scenario. Now, you can have a lot of positive intentions here. You can say that, you know, I want the family to sit together so that there's family bonding time. Excellent. You can say that I want to take the family out so that everyone can be removed from the things that might be distracting them and we can sit together and focus on one another. Excellent. You can say, I want to go out and I want to eat in order to be able to, gain the energy that's going to be necessary for everybody in the family to be able to go on and do the good things that they're doing. Excellent. But if it becomes that I want to make a show out of it, I want people to know that I ate here, I ate this, I did that, I did this. I want to show everybody that I'm like when I was little, the Brady Bunch, you know, pick a family, I don't know, but when I was little, it was the Brady Bunch. You know, we grew up, that was like the Joneses or the perfect family. If that becomes the intention, that's where the problems start arising. And that's exactly what happens nowadays very often, because what happens is the moment that the meal comes out, everybody's snapping a picture and saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. How many people can I convince to like me? How many people can I convince to press that they liked what I showed them? How many people can I entertain? How many followers can I get? How many people can I convince that I'm unique and that their attention should be drawn towards me? But the problem is, when I'm drawing people's attention towards me, I've taken it away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this whole world now functions this way. This whole world functions this way. Person buys something, they snap a picture. Person goes somewhere, they snap a picture. People go on vacation, they snap a picture. People buy a house, they're trying to get as many people as possible to be attentive to them. And that becomes a very, very dangerous game. Now, fine, mind you, I understand it's just part of a common society in which we live, so everybody's used to this, and maybe it may not be as malignant as the hadith describes, but the point still remains. that this desire to catch other people's attention is a very, very dangerous game. It's like playing with fire. And unfortunately, in this day and age, no one is immune. No one is immune. I mean, think about it. We ourselves will, you know, they say that, like, it's very interesting. It's just human nature, but just to give you an example, they, you know, because they get all this data at the same time, right? Everybody's connected to a phone, and these companies, they track everything you do. We don't appreciate that sometimes, but they track every single thing you do. They know exactly where everybody's sitting right now. And honestly, there's a computer that knows where Zayd, Bakr, and Abdullah have been sitting, will be sitting, and might be sitting in the future, okay? This is all being captured. Everybody who has a phone that's turned on, it's all being captured where you are at this time, and it habitually recognizes where you're going, what you're doing, and can even try to predict where you might be so that they can be one step ahead in offering you all these different, you know, great deals. So anyway, one of the things that they've appreciated is that there's a very large number of people that will travel to very picturesque places. For example, you know, there's a rock at a particular state park, or there's a waterfall at in a particular location of the world, or there's a mountain peak at another particular location of the world. And what they noticed is that people will go to these places, but they only go to that specific place, which isn't really even the hallmark. For example, I'm going to X National Park. The National Park is normally a place where people will spend many, many days, relax, enjoy nature, be disconnected from the outside world. And along the way, you might bump into some of the quote-unquote more picturesque places, the places that people tend to take pictures. But what they've seen, what they've shown, is that people will go straight to the picture place, they will take a picture at the place, and then they leave the park, and the purpose was to just post that picture. So now the question is, what's the purpose? Why are people doing this? Because they know that other people's attention will be drawn towards them. They'll be able to attract followers. They'll be able to attract attention. They'll be able to attract eyeballs. Nowadays, they call it eyeballs. They'll be able to attract eyeballs. And people have all, now this whole sort of like new, domain exists in which people are just seeking the attention of one another. It's like a 24/7 constant competition. Who can have the most likes? Who can have the most views? Who can have the most followers? Who can create the funniest scene that will attract the eyes of as many people as possible? But again, the problem is, now, sometimes, mind you, sometimes there might even be a good intention associated with it. People may have the intention that I want to attract as much attention to possible to myself because I'm a representative of Deen, as an example. And I'm not here to judge. If somebody has a good intention, fine. All I'm saying is that this is a very dangerous game. It's a very, very dangerous game, and we should be very particular of trying to avoid engaging in it. Now, there's two major detriments. The first detriment is that it has a major psychosocial impact upon us. And this is just becoming more and more prevalent. I have to have a separate talk on this one day, but this is just becoming more and more prevalent. I mean, I know I've said this before, and I can say this, it just becomes more and more true day by day. It's like you look back every 100 years, every 50 years, and you ask yourself the question, like, in 100 years from now, what will people look back at us and say, oh, this was just a major mistake they made? Like, for example, I'll give you a very simple example. You know, if you look back maybe close to, let's say, 100 years, maybe 80 years ago, and you say, okay, well, what mistake did that generation make that, you know, later on all of humanity began to recognize that this is just a major mistake? It was cigarettes. I can tell you that, you know, there was a time, you won't believe this, if you go back and study this, there was a time where when you would go see the doctor, they would give you cigarettes in the waiting room. Can you believe that? They would give cigarettes in the waiting room while you're waiting so you can relax and be comfortable and smoke until the doctor sees you. It completely sounds ridiculous today. It sounds so totally ludicrous. But that is the reality of what was occurring, you know, 1920s, 1930s. And now people look back at that and they say, we destroyed a whole generation. I mean, I don't have the time to go into the data, but I can just tell you that whole generation was wiped out with cancer, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, asthma, all of these different disorders that arose because of smoking, the leukemia. I mean, you just go on and on. There's 80 carcinogens in one, you know, cigarette, 80 different carcinogens. So now people look back and say, what were these guys thinking? But every generation has its cigarettes. If you go back historically, every generation has something that they promoted, propagated, thought was going to be the next best thing, but ends up being highly detrimental. And in this day and age, you can see that it's basically this social media. It's just destroyed us. I'm not even talking to the people outside. I don't want to talk to the people outside. I'm talking about just us. You know, if I said to you, again, I don't have time to go into this topic right now, but if I just said to you, you know, who am I? The first thing when I wake up in the morning, I grab you. And then the first thing I remember you, the first thing when I wake up in the morning, my attention turns towards you. The last thing before I go to bed, I turn my attention back towards you. Even though I work all day, in my heart and mind, I'm thinking of you. You would think, okay, this has to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? You'd say, wow, this is some big sheikh. First thing in the morning, they're thinking of something. Last thing before they go to bed, they're thinking of something. They wake up in the middle of the night also thinking about this thing. They spend all day wherever they go in the back of their mind thinking about this thing. It never leaves them. It's always connected with them. If it's ever missing, they feel so distraught that they can't even function. But that's not Allah. I'm talking about us. So let's forget about the people outside. We're not here to judge anybody. I'm just asking ourselves as people who are trying to achieve Allah. This is a description not of our connection with Allah. This is a description of our connection with these devices. It's an addiction. We've all become hyper-addicted to these things. Historically, I remember, you know, before these things came out, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, they were there, but they just weren't prevalent. You know, people would say, oh, okay, you know, I don't have any time for dhikr. I don't have any time for Quran. I don't have any time to do anything extra. I'm so busy. But all of a sudden, these things came and people found hours and hours and hours. And, you know, now it's, you look at your average, they have to average it, and it's like 4 or 5 hours a day. Where did that time come from? Yeah, people make time for the things that they enjoy. But, I mean, the point here is that we need to be very, very particular. Now, I'm going off, you know, again, on a tangent. This is a whole separate talk. What I was just trying to highlight is that this world that we live in where everything needs to be shown to others, everything needs to be shown to others, this takes us in a very, very dangerous domain. It's just much safer to not have to try to advertise ourselves to others. And like I said, there's two problems. Number one, psychosocial, it's too much stress. We're human beings, we're not prophets. Prophets, subhanAllah, they were perfect at every moment. You want to relate what's going on inside, want to relate what's going on outside, at any moment you could look at them and take an example from them. They're preserved, they're protected, but we cannot do that. We cannot be perfect at every minute. But the expectation is that everybody's perfect because everybody's constantly shooting the most perfect image. Look, this is me with my husband. Look, this is me with my wife. Look, this is me with my kids. Everybody's sitting like this and everybody's drinking orange juice. But no, they don't show you the chaotic household that normally exists where people are screaming and yelling at each other and everybody get to the table, set the table, you know, put the dishes in the dishwasher. None of that's shown. Just that one picture perfect, exact moment. But the reality is that that's not the way life exists. So what ends up happening, we're trying to compete. And number two, we start thinking, why isn't that me? And then that just leads to a whole series of psychological problems. Mental health, etc., wellness, etc., all of these things become a challenge. So my advice to everyone, and again, I just laid down some simple paradigms when we're thinking about how we engage with the world. My advice to everyone is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with any bounty, whether that's wealth, whether that's health, whether that's food, whether that's a chance to go on a vacation, whether that's an opportunity to purchase a car, it's an opportunity to purchase a home, we should do so cognizant of the fact that these are the blessings of Allah. We can do so to the level of what makes us and our families comfortable, but it should never be to advertise ourselves or what our circumstance might be. We don't need to show people what we're eating for dinner so that they can say Alhamdulillah. That's not part of the deen. They don't need to say Alhamdulillah, he was given this for dinner. I need to say Alhamdulillah before I eat the dinner. So what purpose would I have to advertise these things aside from the fact that I'm just trying to bring attention to myself? I'm trying to show I have A, I have B, I have C, or I'm asking people to turn their eyes and their attention towards me. That is a very, very dangerous game. Now, the extremity of it is the example that the hadith outlines, where a person's been giving enormous blessings and then goes off and becomes a warrior in the path of deen or becomes a scholar in order to advance knowledge happens to become wealthy and uses it to advance many great causes. But because all of that in each scenario was done in order to attract the attention of others, instead of turning people's attention to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them examples at the very beginning of the Day of Judgment. These are among the earliest people to be placed in Jahannam. These aren't the last people. These are among the earliest people to be placed in Jahannam. So yes, I recognize that in this day and age, these things, these devices, these challenges, they're very commonplace and they've essentially become almost, you know, almost necessity. They're almost like oxygen for some people. But we still should be very particular about the way in which we handle them. It's like electricity. Each device is like electricity. Maybe you need to use it. You can come to the conclusion about whether you need to use it or not. But you should never put your hand in the socket. We should never put our hands in the socket. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to appreciate the vast and enormous bounties that He's bestowed upon us, particularly in this day and age and particularly upon this community. May He make us amongst those who leverage those bounties in order to be able to bring peace and comfort to our families and to ourselves. May He make us amongst those who are able to leverage those bounties further in order to help others fulfill their needs. And may He protect us from ever trying to compete with Him in gaining the attention of other people. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.